141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on yet another big night of European action. Kilmarnock and St Mirren are next up against Tromso and Bran respectively. Paolo Bernardo says sky's the limit for Celtic after rejoining. Is Adam Ida closer to doing the same? And could it be time for Bojan Miovski to leave the Scottish Premiership and head to Girona? I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me, they're finally back together. Yes. On a Thursday night. You had a soft relaunch of your relationship on Saturday, but after Mark Wilson returning from Kilimanjaro, Thursday nights feel the same again.
He's not looking the same, is he? He's looking awful gaunt.
He's lost a few pounds.
I think that's taking him out. Yeah, not with exercise, with something else. I think that's taking it out of him. Literally taking it out of him.
That mountain's got a lot to answer for, I tell you that.
I'm walking differently. He's taking a month off.
Well, back to the football. It is good to be back. But it's a big period for our clubs just now, and especially St Mirren and Kilmarnock with these European games coming round so quickly. And it must be difficult for Derek McInnes and Stephen Robinson to prepare, you know, fighting in two fronts right away. But huge games tonight. And Derek McInnes and Kilmarnock will be looking to bounce back from what was a disappointing result last week. Stephen Robinson looking to continue. Things can't get much better for him just now. Two big games ahead tonight.
Yeah, I've got to agree with St Mirren. They've got off to a terrific start. I watched their games last Thursday. I'll tell you, they've got a real good squad. He's worked very hard there. He's got good players at the back, middle, front, even the goalkeeper. He's got a good squad. So I'd expect St Mirren, another bumper crowd tonight in Paisley, to get off to a real good start. Kilmarnock's had a sort of a tricky few games, you've got to say. Obviously, in Europe as well, which just didn't happen for them. Then they had to go to Celtic Park at the weekend. And to be fair, I don't think anybody would have probably stopped Celtic in that form. But tonight's completely different. At Rugby Park, Derek will be looking for a positive result.
If I know you like I think you do, you will be just desperate to get in touch with Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson. It really feels like the season's back now that we've reunited these two on a Thursday. That's not to say we didn't love Brian Graham's company last week. We were happy with that.
He was good.
He can come back. It just feels awkward getting in between you two. So it's good to have you both back on a Thursday. 01419511025. For those of you in terms of Glasgow's Big Two, I think you've got a bit of a blank canvas tonight. Maybe your Rangers fans are still gathering your thoughts after that draw in midweek and looking ahead to the weekend, and maybe things that you've learned that you want to see changing heading into the weekend. Mm-hmm. Celtic fans, yet again, it's really just about players. Paolo Bernardo's spoken today for the first time since rejoining. Reports this evening that another bid's gone in for Adam Ida. Are we getting any closer on that one? And what's next after that? Or get your wish list in. We're at that stage. People were just throwing random names in there last night that they want Celtic to sign, and that's absolutely fine. Kilmarnock fans, St Mirren fans, would love to hear from you. We love it when it's a big European night, you're on your way to the game, and then you share that with us. Killy are up first, so we're sort of slowly running out of time to do that. But as for you, St Mirren fans, right here on the road to Paisley, give us your thoughts. How are you feeling about tonight? Get in touch. I know the weather's not as good as it was last week, but is there still that feel-good factor? A big European night. Who should play? Who shouldn't? Can you do it? All the usual. Because I know the way this works. You'll have listened to this show regularly throughout the years and heard us do this when Celtic and Rangers have their big European nights. This is yours, so get in touch. Take us with you, if you like, on the way to the game. 0141 951 1025. Looking forward to it, though. Big game. Big games, I should say.
Well, certainly, because we want our teams domestically to progress in Europe. It always gives us interest as neutrals watching it. But I think for our managers as well, I like seeing them getting rewarded for what's been a very good season last season. I don't think there's... I was going to say anything worse, but it's great for them to get to Europe. I'm sure they all agree on that, and great to prepare, but to get put out in the opening rounds, it's a bit of a damp squid. So to see them progress after such a good season for Kilmarnock and St Mirren, back to back for St Mirren, should I say, top six finishes, it'd be really rewarding. And for the fan base as well, Daz mentioned St Mirren crowd, by the way, it's been brilliant. You know, for a long time now, they turn up in their numbers, And to have a wee European group stage would be just rewards for them. So fingers crossed they got off to a good start tonight. Quite rare that we see two home games, you know, played in such close proximity, but they need to take full advantage of that tonight.
I'm positive for the two of them. I know Kilmarnock have dropped down into conference, but I think St Mirren are on fire. They really are. I think they're going into this game full of confidence. Killy at Rugby Park are a good side, and they've got a good squad, and they've got a good manager. They can bounce back from that disappointing result at the weekend. I don't think they've done a lot wrong. I think it was just the fact that Celtic were too good on the day, and I'm sure Derek's put that behind them. And I'm looking for a positive couple of results tonight.
How are you feeling, though? That's the most important thing. 01419511025. It doesn't need to be about the European games tonight, although we would love it to be. You can talk signings, you can talk anything else that you fancy. Do get in touch. Andrew McLean is at Rugby Park. Well, they're up first, so a 7 o'clock kickoff there, Andrew, which means you should have teams as well.
Yes, I do indeed. Normally the beach balls are out for this type of occasion, but I think the fans could be doing with getting rubber dinghies out for this. The weather is horrible, as you alluded to. The rain was running down the street as I was making my way from the car to the stadium. It's a wild night, but what a big game for the supporters to look forward to. Didn't quite go to plan in the Europa League qualifiers, but Cercle Bruges are just a level above in terms of what they can spend, quality of player as well. So that was always going to be tough for Derek McInnes and his players. This, though, is a much more winnable tie. Tromso, more than halfway through their league campaign, they sit fourth bottom of the table, just 2 points off the bottom as well. They did finish third last season, but it's really not gone to plan for them this campaign so far. Kilmarnock will feel that maybe, you know, Tromso are there for the taking, and maybe Derek McInnes' team selection alludes to that as well, because it does look very attacking. They've made three changes from that 4-0 defeat to Celtic on Sunday. Out go Bainbridge, Watson and Murray, in come Wright, Armstrong and Anderson. So it'll be Robbie McCrory in goal. The back three, Joe Wright, Lewis Mayo and Stuart Finlay. The wing backs, Danny Armstrong and Matty Kennedy. The midfield three, Brad Lyons, Liam Donnelly and Liam Polworth, Kyle Vassell and Bruce Anderson up top. We did see Brad Lyons play as a makeshift right back against Celtic on Sunday, so there is also the option for him to slot back there and for them to revert to a back four as well. The substitutes, O'Hara, Dees, McKenzie, Watson, Mackay, Stephen, Murray, Cameron, Wales, Brown, Brannan, Leslie and Bainbridge.
Yes, very interesting team there. Kelly perhaps looking for a nice home advantage early on. Let's go to Paisley and get the lay of the land there with Gabriel. You'll be a bit further away from teams. That's a 7:45 kickoff, isn't it?
Yes, that's right, Gordon. Good evening. It may be raining here, but nothing will dampen the spirits of the supporters that will pack out this place in an hour's time. It's a sellout here tonight at the Smyzer Stadium. Fans ready to watch the Saints' biggest European game in 4 decades. Now, SK Brann are the visitors in the third round of the Conference League. As we know, it's Scotland against Norway this evening, but Stephen Robinson's side certainly with the tougher task of the two. Brann are all the way up at second in the Norwegian League, far above Kilmarnock's opponents, Tromso. Now, despite that, Robinson was in confident mood yesterday when I spoke to him. He said that he knows they're underdogs, but he expects his side to win every home game. Says they fear no one. They want to head to Norway in 7 days' time with a lead to hold on to. And you can understand the belief he's got in his team. They've made a flying start to the season. If the last two games are anything to go by, there will be goals here. Three against Hibs on Sunday, four in that brilliant win against Valour in the previous round last week. And they're hoping for a brilliant night again. Team news and more build-up coming shortly.
There's nothing worse when people have little like, kind of private jokes or in-jokes on a radio show. But do you not just feel like, when you listen to Gabriel now, you saw him in such a different light in Germany.
A different man.
He feels like a different guy now. I feel like I know him better.
We're actually laughing at his photograph.
On the live stream.
I love his photo on the live stream.
You think you know a guy until you spend 12 days.
He was the star of the show.
He's
in
a unique
Germany.
Individual, isn't he?
He's one of my favourite people now.
He's a talented
just
individual.
I often wonder what he's up to in his life.
I don't.
Just out and about.
I don't. Anyway, 01419511025. We'll get back to Gabriel for teams. We'll get back to Andrew before kickoff as well. Stephen is a St Mirren fan this evening. How are the pre-match nerves, Stephen?
Aye, not bad. Just buzzing to be in the second round. First time in my lifetime seeing St Mirren play in Europe, so just absolutely buzzing for the game again.
How does the challenge of this one feel? Because it was good, and credit where it's due for a job well done last week, but I think everyone accepts that is a level of opponent that St Mirren should beat. I wonder how you feel about this one.
I think, in my opinion, as long as we don't embarrass ourselves, put up a good performance, keep the scoreline as close as we can in both legs, yeah, just keep the confidence. I think this probably will be a step too far for us, but as long as we can, like I say, keep the confidence and get the league off to a good start, I'll be happy with that.
I'm kind of torn, Mark. It feels like SK Brann are exactly the type of level that you have to acknowledge how good they will be and how tough it will be. But at some point, can our clubs go and come through these types of ties? Even if it is punching above your weight slightly, yeah. When are we going to start doing it as a nation? Tonight is St Mirren's turn.
Yeah, we say the same every year and we have great optimism for our sides and they fall flat. But just what Daz says about St Mirren and how they've signed and how they've replaced, like, take Rooney for strain. It looks like he started well. Adewu, who scores a goal, good signing, was a good player. So Stephen Robinson keeps finding these gems, and we just hope that it connects for Europe. Now, they've already had a round before where usually our clubs fall flat in their face then, but they've negotiated that well. Yes, of course, this is a step up tonight, and Norwegian football is no joke, but I don't know, it looks like Stephen Robinson's got something good going on there. He's looking for his third top six finish. If he can get into the Conference League, then what a job he's done.
I wonder if we are a bit, not too harsh, but forgetting last season was actually quite good for this type of tie. Hibs beat Luzerne. We're never going to beat Aston Villa. It's just the way it is. And Hearts beat Rosenborg and then fell at the next hurdle. So maybe we need to be a bit more ambitious at this stage. Those two did well at this stage last season. Eventually, you're going to run into a level of opponent that it becomes really difficult. But I think we should have faith in St Mirren. I don't think Brann are that level. Stephen seems a bit down on it.
I was a bit shocked there with what Stephen was saying, because I totally understand. Last opponents were part-time and we expected St Mirren to go through that. But it's the way they've started the league as well. They brushed away Hibs 3-0 at home. They're packing out their stadium. They've got, for me, a very good, strong squad, because even if you look at the back, keeping Gogic was massive for them. He's been absolutely brilliant. He holds everything together. Midley Park, they've got creative players there. They've got guys that can score goals. And up front, as I say, they're a real threat. I just think tonight that I fancy St Mirren. I really do. I don't think it'll be a 3-0 like, you know, last Sunday against Hibs. But if they can take something in Norway, a lead, then they'll be in a real good place.
I like how we're in for another season of his St Mirren analysis, stretching as far as who's the one player he meets at the school gates? Alex Gogic.
Yeah, you're glad.
Oh, I love him.
He'd have been devastated if he hadn't hung around.
Yeah, you know what St Mirren have been good at though, and obviously their results tell you early on this season, they have been clinical. You know, not always defensively watertight. Hibs created plenty of chances and maybe should have scored, but they were clinical when they got their chances, St Mirren, at the other end. And you could say the same in the European game where they score four and a lot of different scorers within that. So the spread of goals throughout the team is exactly what you want early on in the season.
Stephen, certainly looks like Mark O'Hara's going to be out injured for this one. How big a blow is that for you?
I think it's a massive blow. I think he didn't play on Saturday, but Sunday, sorry. But yeah, I think we've got strength on the bench as well, so it is obviously a big blow, the leader in there, but I think there's good enough players that can replace him, so it should be all right, hopefully. I think it's up front where we struggle. I know it seems daft saying that after scoring three on Sunday and four last Thursday, but I think that position should be okay.
Well, enjoy the game, Stephen. I'm sure there will be a few nervous St Mirren fans out there. If you want to get in touch, let us know how you're feeling ahead of the big one on 01419511025. Kilmarnock fans, same invitation to you. That one kicks off a bit earlier as well. Let's go with another Stephen on the line. This one's a Celtic fan. Now, what have you got for us, Stephen?
How you doing, Gordon, Matt, Dazzler?
Good, yep, thank you. Great. Good. You?
Good to see the A team back on.
I mean, they've been called many things. Yeah. I wouldn't stretch it too far, but anyway.
It's been very quiet transfer-wise, obviously, with Celtic, as we know. We're linked with Ida, that's been going on and on forever. Whether that happens or not is a different story. But I'm on to talk about actually, he's 25 or 26, I didn't realise.
Yeah, 26.
Luke McCowan for Dundee.
I was very impressed with him last season. I've just wondered, Mark being an ex-Celtic player, if he thinks he could take the step up and be in the Celtic squad, or whether he would need another couple of clubs before Celtic. I mean, I think the boys get everything. I'm real impressed with him.
He's been very good last season, but the way he starts this season and then the armband. I just wonder how, you know, there's a certain level you need to get to, especially in that midfield, to play for Celtic and to break in.
Easier at fullback, isn't it?
All joking aside, it is as much easier at fullback, believe it or not. But midfield at a club like Celtic is one of the most hotly competed areas, and that's where the bulk of Celtic's money is usually distributed in buying these creative players. So it's not to say McCown wouldn't be good enough, he'd just have major competition, but I like what I've seen. And again, maybe what goes against him, I didn't realise he was that old as well.
26.
Did not realise that. So that maybe goes against him. I reckon if he's, you know, 20, maybe early 20s, you then think of that sell-on clause that Celtic like to...
Well, it certainly rules out just the second part of Stephen's theory about maybe he needs another couple of clubs first.
Yeah.
Because by that point, never happening.
I think he's short. I think he's short to get into Celtic, yeah. I really do. I think you need it to go a little bit further. Look, the boy's been terrific. I watched him in the Dundee Derby. They've made him the captain, gave him the responsibility.
Linked with Hibs and Bolton,
Coming down in. South, there are a couple of clubs looking down south as well. I just think he's round about that, maybe Hearts, Aberdeen, Hibs type thing. I don't think he's that level to get into Celtic and challenge for it.
You disagree though, Stephen, clearly?
Cost?
Say that again, sorry?
How much would it cost, roughly?
Oh, it wouldn't be a lot. No, it wouldn't
but
be a
that
lot.
That doesn't matter how much it costs.
No, it's that. Well, Stephen's, I think, saying it's worth a try sort of thing.
I think what you've got to assess is... when you're bringing anybody in, I think this is why Celtic have been maybe slow in the transfer market. And everybody likes to play Championship Manager and get all your players in at the start of the season. But if they aren't going to improve, or who is McCown better than at Celtic in the midfield at this moment in time? And he'd be well down the list, if you've got to say. And again, I don't want to take anything away because he's a terrific player, but Daz hit the nail on the head. There are levels and you've got to be exceptional to fill a space in that Celtic midfield, and I don't think he's quite at that height yet.
Stephen, you hoping then for a busy couple of weeks, I take it?
Definitely. It's really has been unbelievable, so it has. It's borderline neglect to the Celtic board. I get you need to wait a while on that, right? But, I mean, come on, we're in the season now. You want them in early so you do so they're up and running and played with a squad, etc.
Well, we'll see what the next couple of days, next couple of weeks brings. It's as good a suggestion as any. That's what we're here for during the transfer window. You don't have to agree if you go along with Stephen or have got some opposing viewpoint. We're here for you either way. Big night in Europe and anything else you've got for us, good time to call, and we will try our very best to get you on next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Talking transfer window, talking European qualifiers. We can even go early and look ahead to the weekend's action. If you're that way inclined, do pick up the phone, please. 01419511025. Frankie is in Lanark. How's it going, Frankie?
Not too bad.
Do you ever go to Lanark Golf Course? Ever see a strange old man wandering around acting suspicious?
I've seen that strange man a lot of times.
So strange, isn't
it? Oh, have you, Frankie?
Do you remember me?
You're there 8 days a week.
I played in his trainers the other day. Did they tell you that story?
Of course I did. Because he shot a brilliant score in his trainers. I've heard it all.
I just wanted to know if Frankie remembered
last night. I was struggling to get to sleep and I thought, what was that story again about him and his trainers? Knocked me straight off.
You get me? Frankie, do you remember me?
No. Yes, I remember.
Is that the song?
The song.
Oh, it's not one of your better jokes, I have to say.
Who sings that?
To be fair, it was the Thingy Sisters.
Aye, I was going to say, Frankie, you sound old enough to be in league with him.
Me and Daz are the same age.
Jeez,
are you 60 as well, mate?
I'm 62, son.
You're the same age in 62.
With a bit of change anyway, Frankie. Don't let us distract
Frankie,
you.
That Frankie, what wonders for me in the 80s when I was working down south?
Tell us more.
No, don't, Frankie. What are you thinking? Talk transfers before the boss gets nervous.
Yes. Yeah, I was saying, I've actually got the TV on and there's probably Bernardo. He's half up, which I did predict a while back. I don't know, Mark would go to 6 million, but we got him at a reduced price, but still think it's a good signing. But I am really relaxed about the signings. I know there's loads of Celtic fans, guys I know, and they're just like, wow, what's happening? We should get them in, we should have them in. I think that he's got the squad there. He knows what he's got to know. He knew he would get Bernardo back. The talk is either probably about a bid, maybe another million or whatever on the night. He'll be up. I think they'll look at another midfield player, because I think reading between the lines, Brighton are going to match what Celtic's looking for. So Bernardo will probably slip in. Right, and I don't know what has happened to the young boy, Daniel Kelly. I think he's disappeared. But my main point was that regarding the left back area and / centre half on the left. And I've not heard nothing from Arsenal. And I'm just wondering if there's a chance that we might get Kieran Tierney back on loan at the end of the season, because his contract's going down, and there might be a chance of a loan deal there and maybe pick him up again.
I know he loves the place, obviously everyone knows that. You just wonder what the structure of that looks like. How much of the wage are you picking up? That has to be that would be the sticking point for anyone. Actually, I noticed, incidentally, this is the anniversary, I think, of his move to Arsenal.
Is
I think
really?
They posted
yeah.
an on this day Kieran Tierney joined. You'd be amazed if some level of conversation hadn't taken place, even just getting the lay of the land. I don't know. How does that work? What you know, is that bound to be the sticking point?
Depends how far Celtic are prepared to go. It'd be a terrific signing, I've got to say that. Because I think, I totally agree with Frankie, I think that Greg Taylor has been excellent for Celtic. I'm not having a go at him. I just think they need a bit of cover. I think they need a bit of cover in the centre defence. They're certainly needing someone up front, whether it's either coming in or not. And I think they'll need another one, because they've got so many games coming up. I think you've got to at least carry three strikers over your team like Celtic, with the European campaign and obviously the domestic football as well. So I think Celtic have a bit of work to do. Look, I'm with Frankie a little bit in this. I think that Celtic have got this under control. I do think behind the scenes there will be moves to go and bring in players. They're not going to leave themselves short before a window shuts.
What makes you think that? What gives you that confidence?
Because I think that Brendan Rodgers would force that, to be honest with you. I think Brendan would probably come out and say a lot more if he wasn't going to get backed. And I think he knows that behind the scenes they're working, deals will probably be done. Now, I could be wrong, but I think they will get players in. Whether it's the full capacity that Brendan wants is another argument, but I'm sure they will certainly add to that squad.
Well, it's not just the numbers though, Mark. Those players then have to be the right players when they arrive.
Yeah.
And some Celtic fans, like Frankie, are calm, and others say, well, yeah, we got players last window, but none of them, but next to none of them, made an impact on the starting 11. And many have been moved on, or that's looking to happen at the moment. So I can't, you know, people are just going to fall into those two. It feels like those two categories: those that are calm and those that are a bit more nervous about things.
Yeah, and I can understand why the Celtic fans out there nervous, because recent history will tell you, in years gone by, and even Brendan Rodgers' first period round, that they struggle. They struggle to, it seems, to get simple transfers over the line. And I know contract negotiations are difficult nowadays. There's so much going on, so much goes into it. But from where Celtic were at the end of last season to now, an awful long time has passed, and they must have identified the positions last season, at the tail end of last season, or from January onwards, that they needed to strengthen, and hardly anything's been done. So I can see why the supporters are nervous. But on my dad's, you would think Brendan Rodgers' stature at the club and why he came at the club, and he knows what he wants, he would have a real pull in getting things over the line. But as time's ticking on, the less confidence you have, something groundbreaking coming through or earth-shattering coming through. Either's taken an exceptionally long time. And I just wonder when you draw a line that.
Reports tonight on Sky Sports that there's an understanding Celtic have made an improved offer after an initial 4 million was rejected. The problem at the moment is I've then seen that fee as like 8 million.
Yeah, I read that
surely,
as well.
You know, so I suppose you never know at this stage. And you're right, it's the one that's taken a while. Do you think he'll be a Celtic player, Frankie? Is it looking that way now?
I think it's a definite. I would just add something. I was watching Sky Sports today, and Ten Hag was on, the Manchester United manager, and of course he was getting asked the questions about who's coming in, what you're getting. Obviously he's brought a couple of players in, and he's turned around and he said, look, the market's a bit slower now. No, we've just got to wait and see who's coming out, who's available. So if it's slowed down in England, then it's going to be, I think that's where we're looking for. They're picking up one or two there, and it's just going to take a bit of time. And I think we'll see at the end, we'll be coming out a lot stronger.
I couldn't possibly contradict that, because I think Frankie's right. Just take a look across the board. If that window, where all they've got their financial fair play concerns down there. We saw this a bit in January. Everything there's a bit slower, and it's bound to have a knock-on effect. There is a food chain. That's just the way it works, really.
My only argument against that would be that Celtic are shopping in a totally different market, and players who are well out the picture in some of these clubs. No,
I'm
not even
the knock-on effect of all that stuff move them on.
Well, I don't even think some of these players will be challenging for starting positions in these bigger clubs. And I totally get the idea, the food chain and the market and the domino effect, but I still think who Brendan Rodgers will be looking to bring in is maybe on the continent, and maybe more obscure clubs and more obscure names that we don't know about. Or if it is England, it'll be players like Ida, who have been out the squad.
Choice, yeah.
But I'm so surprised at Ida. I know negotiations with transfer fees, but he, on the face of it, would seem the most simplest one are getting done. You've had him on loan. There must have been some sort of discussions. If this guy is a success here, we will pursue this. And the length of time is taking far too long, especially when, by the way, you've seen Kyogo limping on Saturday just after the penalty claim, and you think, well, if Kyogo comes off, who's there to replace him? No one at the minute.
Let's thank Frankie for his suggestion. He reckons Kieran Tierney, maybe a loan deal at the end of the window. What do you think about that one? Give us your thoughts. Paolo Bernardo, speaking today, claims he always wanted to return to Celtic Park as he sets his sights on winning silverware again.
Yeah, I'm delighted to be here again. We had a fantastic season last year, and it's so nice to be back on this club. I always thought about coming back to Celtic, so I think it was easy for me, because I loved all the season last year. I want to be champions again. Hopefully we have 3 titles to win in domestically. So, yeah, I look forward to that, and to have a good season in Europe too. I want this season a little bit better for me than the last year. Last year was really good too, but I need to improve. And I know that will be a better season for me too.
Good signing for me. I think he's at the right age. I think he's one that Brendan Rodgers has certainly worked with, and looks at him and thinks, right, I can take him to the next step. He's got all the ability in the world. He had a sort of a up and down season when he came in. There's some games he looked terrific, and then others he looked quite ordinary. But that's all about settling into a club. And I think he's delighted to be back. He knows that he has to up his game again, but he's certainly got the ability to do that, and I'm sure that Brendan Rodgers is delighted with that.
I'm sure I saw a quote though, Mark, saying that he kept his stuff in storage in Glasgow.
Oh, did he really? That's good preparation.
But then, you know, tongue in cheek slightly, why did it take so long then? You know, is the bill going to get...
I hope he's claiming Celtic. The bill for this, I know, because it's not cheap to keep your stuff in storage in Glasgow. But I showed you he had some confidence of coming back. And it proves my point of what I was saying there. Between clubs, between players, between agents, it takes an awful lot of time to iron at the simplest of things that we seem simple. But in the face of it, is he going to be a good player? Of course he's a good player. I just was not convinced at the tail end of last season that he was worth, was it reported, £6 million. Getting him cut price, well, time will tell if he's worth that. Yeah. But Brendan Rodgers played in big games. He had some big moments. So.
Nothing worse than keeping your stuff in storage. You ever experienced that?
Oh,
you must have loads of times. See, when I moved house, the only container I could get was like 2-story. So it was on top of another container. So any time I wanted to go in, I'd get in like a wee cherry picker and go up. So every time my wife would sell something on Facebook Marketplace because we were moving, I had to go down to the storage, jump in a cherry picker, go up the stairs, up to the second floor, rake around in the back for a dining room table. Honestly, I've got sympathy with you, Paolo. That's where the similarities between him and I end, though.
Yeah, it's not easy at all. Think when you're split up though, and you go to get you go up to your second floor and get half your stuff, and it's all the heavy stuff. It's
I
left.
Just usually leave everything. only thing I take is my clothes
for the bonfire.
I'm away with my two suitcases.
See, that's where you two and I differ, right? We'll leave it there.
There's just plenty of time, Gordon, for you.
In case I get myself
in the bother. Evening,
yeah. I'm fully committed if you're listening. Yeah. Anyway, 01419511025. James is on the line. How are you, James?
I'm fine, guys. Good evening, all.
The previous caller, James, described himself as calm about Celtic's transfers. Would you describe yourself similarly, or...?
No, I would say I'm very frustrated, and I'll tell you why. I mean, we've got £100 million in the bank, plus, what? On the 25th of May, we won the Scottish Cup. I'm assuming that Brendan Rodgers says to the board, I want A, B, C and D in. He's been on repeatedly saying we need to defend better. Now, that 11 weeks ago, maybe 12, we went to America and he said that he met up with the people in charge and things are progressing. Guys, why are these players not in? Are we waiting to sell Matt O'Reilly before we buy people? Because there is no way in this world when we get this new formatted Champions League, we should end up meeting four top teams out of the group of eight. Instead of meeting one in the group stages of four, we could end up with Real Madrid in the group, Man City in the group, say PSG. It's a different format. And it's embarrassing that we're sitting with all these riches. And yet, Brendan said last week, we're looking at players. How long does it take you to make your mind up?
I think the Mattarelli thing clearly could be playing a part if you were looking at a replacement for him or how that's going to work. But, you know, James asked the question, are Celtic waiting for Mattarelli? Surely not, in terms of left back or...
Centre forward?
Yeah.
No, not at all. I think, as James said there, I don't think they'll need to wait for the money coming in to go and splash it. They've got money. It's available there. I just think that today's...
I don't even mean all about money, though. I just mean in terms of, you know, your squad and how it's made up.
I can understand that Celtic fans are a bit frustrated because... you know, we hear Hugh all the time, quite rightly so.
Oh, he's just texted, don't you worry.
Oh, he's 12 weeks, is he? Give it the 12
weeks. 11
weeks. 11 weeks, sorry, Hugh.
What's he texting?
Good to see Mark has come round to my way of thinking that 11 weeks is too long for a championship striker.
Yeah.
Straight on it.
But these things, and what James is saying there is, you know, teams that are negotiating with Celtic know they've got money. So there's a lot of negotiations, and nowadays... agents and third parties play a massive part in this. So every box has got to be ticked. Yes, it's frustrating. Yes, it's taking a long time. I think Brendan Rodgers will be frustrated. But I would be very confident that Celtic will have deals done before the window shuts.
I was going to highlight that. Brendan Rodgers is probably the most frustrated. I know a lot of Celtic fans will call up and a lot with their season tickets are, you know, wanting people in. But it's the manager who'll want them in more than most, because he's the one that's got to shape them. He's the one that's got to get his tactics and his thoughts across and transform these players into what he expects in the team. And the longer you leave that, the closer you get to the Champions League that James and Stephen and that are talking about. So it becomes more difficult. So it's tough, but Celtic have known what positions they have needed to strengthen. And when Burnaby goes out the door and it leaves Greg Taylor, and when Scales is left covering for Lagerbielke and Navrotsky, and when Kyogo's clearly the only striker you can depend upon because O's away, those are big holes in your side. Never mind the goalkeeper. Somebody made a good point in the show last night about Brendan Rodgers getting into his phone book to get Kasper Schmeichel. That's a bit alarming when you've got a full recruitment team to do that. Who were the other goalkeepers that they were highlighting that Brendan Rodgers thought, tell you what, I'm going to pick up my phone rather than go for any
of these. If he turns out to be brilliant, no one cares.
Well, of course, no one cares, but then when you pair it with the holes in your team, you think, well, why are those not being filled? Does it need the manager to then actually bring these people in, apart from except for the department who should actually be doing it?
Some questions remain. We will see. Thank you very much to James on the usual number. Keep those calls coming in, 01419511025. We're going to get team news from St Mirren, but let me tell you about this first. Cash register. There is only one day left to enter the cash register for your chance to win £270,000. Do not let it pass you by. Don't put it off any longer. I know it's at that stage in the week you might get distracted, you might take your eye off the ball, and you've missed the chance. It is obviously a life-changing amount. So £270,000. Text YES to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for £2 or call 0330 880 4523. Calls charged at a standard rate on that one. It is over 18s only, and the entries since we opened those lines on the 22nd of July, they've rolled over. So all the other rules for this Rayo Network competition are on our website. And the important time frame here is that lines close 5pm tomorrow. So just, you might as well do it right now if you can. To win, answer your phone within the five rings. Make sure you know this week's cash register amount, £270,000. And if you win it, it goes straight into your bank account after the call. Text YES to 61025 and good luck.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here for your usual Thursday night nonsense. It is back after a summer break, so give us a call, whether it's transfers, whether it's this weekend's game, or more pressingly tonight's European games. Get your calls and please, we gave you Killy team news because that one kicks off first. What about St Mirren, Gabriel? What's it looking like for Stephen Robinson?
Yeah, team news been out for about 10 minutes, Gordon. It's going to be the usual three at the back formation for Robinson's side. It'll be Ellery, Balcom in goal, a defensive Marcus Fraser, Alex Gogic and Richard Taylor. Sean Rooney, the hero last week, will be playing on the right-hand side. Caelan Boyd-Munts, Oisin Smith and Roland Idowu in the middle, with Jaden Brown on the left flank. It'll be a duo of Mikhail Mandron and Jonah Ayunga up top. Substitutes, Erminski, Kelly, Tanzer, Yakoviti, Scott Olusanya, Aden Inran, Kenny, Taylor, Mooney, Sutherland and Buomono. You'll notice that there's no place for Mark O'Hara. A big blow for the skipper to miss a game of this magnitude. He's out for a few weeks with a thigh injury.
Well, hopefully St Mirren can get through and he can join in as the competition progresses, Mark. But you're kind of looking through the lens of the last couple of games and the game at the weekend, of course, as well. So Idowu, who looked brilliant, obviously good, scored a great, very good goal, hit the post. Talking about the summer recruitment, you know, Sean Rooney, who scored in Europe last week as well. New goalkeeper looks to have settled in nicely. So there's a lot I think the St Mirren fans will like about that team tonight.
Well, there isn't. You know what? There's a bit of depth in that squad as well. You see the changes that he's made, and Mandron coming in and Olusanya missing out as well tonight. You could have picked any one of them. Rooney's obviously a standout on the right-hand side, a real good player who is dependable but can grab your goal as well. And through the spine of the team, you've got Gogic and you've got two powerful front men, but Boyd-Munts in the middle of the pitch as well. You know, really strong centre. So he's shaped up his side well. A good bit of experience in there also. He's going to need it tonight. European games take on a different form for the league games. I often found that when, you know, I was starting out my career and I went into Europe and it was just played at a different pace and a different level. They're going to need all the experience they can get to pull through this one.
Yeah, I think Mark O'Hara will be a big miss for him. He scored a terrific goal last week, I've got to say. Where they're a threat, they've got at set plays now. You know, you're talking about side, yeah, they're a big side. If they can get a decent delivery in there, they'll cause teams all sorts of problems at corner kicks, free kicks from decent angles. There'll be a big crowd there tonight, I think.
Gabs, you love the crowd,
yeah. I sat down on Monday and I've never been so happy in all my life. I thought, I'm going to waste an hour and a half of my life, I'll never get back here watching St Johnstone Aberdeen. The park was full and the game was excellent. I really enjoyed it going, and yeah, I think
good to hear you talking up the game.
I'm talking up the game, if you give me a minute. I think the atmosphere helps the players. It really does. Yeah, and I think that will go tonight for St Mirren. You look at the last couple of games St Mirren had, their crowds are well up, the players are responding. So as much as Mark, you know, tries to, you know, belittle me a little bit in that case, I think the fact... I think the fans do make a big, big difference.
I apologise. I wasn't trying to be like, oh yeah, take all back.
This show will take... See if he's sensitive this season, though. We could have some issues, couldn't we?
He seems sensitive. Yeah. After the summer, listening in that room with all his gripes and ailments, he might be sensitive. Honestly,
Tom is a Rangers fan. How's it going, Tom?
Hi, good evening, Craig. Great to hear the show back on.
Yeah, good to have you, Dave. What are you thinking? What are you thinking tonight?
Well, my Craig guys, who's to Mark for, you know, climbing Kilimanjaro. I must give credit where credit's due there as well.
Thank you, Tom.
Know. Oh, God. Okay.
It's a hard old slog. Wasn't it like climbing up Connacht Hill?
I laugh at the toilet thing. But there we go.
I wasn't good.
Anyway, no, I must. I say staying reduced, Scott. You know, the negativity. I've been trying to get through since Sunday past, and the negativity about Rangers was the steam was coming out of my ears. I must admit, seriously, guys, I was like, I've never heard so much negativity in all my life about Scottish football, especially with Rangers. Okay, I'm a Rangers fan. I'm going to be a bit biased. Of course I am. But the negativity, I could not believe. I mean, the first game of the season, as I say to Scott, Hearts had a bloody good team out. They've signed, and that boy Taylor, he's going to, Hearts will give not only Rangers, Celtic, and the rest of the Premier League tough games. Hearts have certainly improved. I watched the game and I thought Hearts, they're a good team. Hearts are a good team. And you've got to give it to the manager for his signings. But where I'm coming from as a Rangers supporter, I can't believe the negativity on, you know, there's only one player I've never rated Scott Wright. I've never rated the boy. I've never ever thought, honestly, he was Rangers at that level. You know, we've got other players there that are, I would say, superior.
In fairness, about the weekend, because I think, Tom's, it's understandable now, especially after the midweek that your Rangers have had, and Tom saying it just feels like the negativity has been over the top. We did sort of say that at the weekend. See, if Hearts is an isolation, then a draw at Tynecastle, it just isn't a disaster. It's just never going to be. Sorry to kill Hugh Keevan's favourite quote, but, you know, in the context of a season, there's every chance you go there and draw. It's going to be. Yeah. However, heading into that game, it felt like part of a bigger picture for the Rangers fans. It was about pre-season, it was about signings, it was about the stadium, and add Hearts into the mix. So we're going to almost wait until we've got more. So Europe does a lot to pull people round, unless it goes wrong next midweek. You know, that's not over yet. So you're almost living in this game-to-game basis to get a fuller idea of where Rangers are.
Yeah, and I think you and Tom are right, because Tom says Hearts are a good side who have made good signings and were good on the day. I totally agree with that. And you're right in saying that when you go to Tynecastle, a draw isn't a disaster at all, especially when you look at a strengthened Hearts side. And then Rangers go away in Europe, and it was kind of classic what we've seen of Rangers in recent years in Europe, that when they're really backs up against it and their pre-season been so poor and, you know, people are saying the results are, it was a bit of a disastrous start, then they dig out and they get that last minute equaliser and it's like everything's rosy in the garden again. It's the way Rangers have been for so long. But I'm with Tom. I don't think Sarty's result was a disaster. Maybe style of play, you could pick holes in and think, well, what is the identity of this team? But that might unfold, that might become clearer as new signings come in and Philippe Clement has a wee bit more time over the next few weeks.
Thank you very much to Tom. 01419511025. I liked Cyril Desser's celebration the other night. I think that's what we should aim for here. We're about to play Beat the Pundit. If you win, you need to give us the old Turkish shooter from the Olympics.
What about him with the haircut?
Yeah. I just think that's right up your street, though.
I watched it.
Have you seen it?
Turkish shooter.
So that's what everyone's, because the Swedish pole vaulter then did it as well.
As cool as anything.
So if you win, I need you to stand up right to that camera.
Hold on a minute. I might not play.
I'm just setting up.
So Mark, if Mark wins, he's doing the same.
Nah, this role's tailor made for you.
See, I think
made
Tom,
for an older man.
I think Tom was right. There's a bit of Craig about you tonight.
Craig. It's just going to be that's you all over. I can just see it. He's got grey hair like you. He's a gentleman. He's advanced in his years.
What has he been doing in his past life?
He's got exactly.
Like you.
He's got skeletons in his closet. That guy. So do you. It's all set up. Anyway.
Skeletons.
Let's play.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time, 01419511025, and the lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It is that time of the night when you get the chance to take on Mark Wilson or Gordon Dalziel at Beat the Pundit. It's a big night of European action. It's actually underway because Kilmarnock kicked off first. We gave you the team news. We spoke to Andrew McLean. They are underway. And of course, we'll keep you up to speed with any significant updates. About 40 minutes to go for St Mirren. So if there are any other St Mirren fans out there, we've had some on already. Let's do more. Usual sort of business during the transfer window. Some Celtic fans are on to say they're calm, some are on to say they're frustrated, but with Rangers fans on saying it's all been a bit too negative in recent days. So do pick up the phone if any of that tickles your fancy, or if you've got something new up your sleeve. Now's a good time. We'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It's still tight across the season. 5-3 to the Pundits.
Who played last night?
You wouldn't have played yet, Mark.
Never, no.
Because this
I've
is
not.
Your first midweek back. How do you think you're feeling?
Bit rusty. I've not been keeping up to speed with things.
Bit of an altitude sickness.
Do they not have
sickness.
Papers up there?
They didn't have much up
bit
there
of altitude
at all.
Sickness still
oh, certainly
wearing
had
on you.
I did none of that.
No!
Certainly. Leaves. Had plenty of leaves.
Oh, no.
Do you know what reminded me of? He was telling us, obviously, that the altitude was rough when he was at the top. Yeah. He said he started feeling a bit sick. He felt like he was walking with lead boots on. And it just reminded me of you two trying to walk to the hotel in Cologne after the
altitude daily.
Anyway, the train from Munich.
We must have been up 6,000 metres at that point because I was all over the shop.
Give us credit, it was on a hill.
I've still got the video on my phone, and it's you two walking in a sort of zigzag with your suitcases. And your laces are undone.
That's right. I couldn't get down to bend into tying them. I would have fell over.
A 10-minute walk that took us half an hour.
Oh, the good old days. What a summer. What a summer we've had.
Feels like 6 months ago, quite frankly. But anyway, 01419511025 for after we play Beat the Pundit. One of these two is going to be in the hot seat against Andy in Cambus Lang. How's it going, Andy?
Very well, gentlemen, yourself.
Very good in here. Debut for you on Beat the Pundit. Never played before.
Absolutely, yes. I don't often get a chance to sit and relax and sit and wait and pick my daughter up for gymnastics at 7:30. So sit and listen to the crack with you boys.
Brilliant, I love it. Who was the guy that was it when you were on Tuesday? You missed the guy phoned in and sort of said, "Don't even want to really do this."
His wife.
My wife just made me.
For Motherwell.
That was aye.
Do you know he lives right across the road from my sister?
His wife made him do it.
Aye, just put him, and he was just like, "I just don't really want to."
And how did he go on?
He lost, did he?
Serves him right.
He wasn't that bad though. He wasn't that bad. He was all right,
five,
wasn't he?
5-4.
It's been high scoring.
Beat him 5-4.
8-6 to Marvin on Monday.
Oh, I heard that. By the way,
the likes of it.
Who won last night? Did you say sorry? My apologies.
Kilmarnock have scored. What a start that is! Kyle Vassell. They hit the post. The skipper on the rebound. Brilliant. What a start.
Yeah.
Simon
the Kelly fan will be on soon.
Yeah.
Gloating. No, that's good.
He'll be the game, but I love that. That's a brilliant start, isn't it?
Yeah, great start. And obviously, it's a big night for Kilmarnock because they've had a difficult start to the season. So they want to start getting that confidence back, winning games. Brilliant start for Derek and the boys.
Cammy Bell lost on a tiebreaker last night. It was about the number of non-British players or non-Scottish players in the top flight, and the contestant was 2 out. That's incredible. Anyway, let's see how we go tonight, Andy. What we'll do firstly, obviously, is toss the coin. Heads, it's Mark Wilson. Tails, it is Gordon Dalziel.
Problem.
And your weight, Mark Wilson goes on. It's tails, Gordon Dalziel. We'll
right,
take
okay.
on Andy. Have you still got us, Andy?
I've still got you,
good man. Here. Good. Right, let's give Gordon some greatest hits radio. You, Andy, have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer. It's that simple, okay?
Okay.
Right, your 30 seconds are going on the clock and your time starts now. Who did Rangers beat in the League Cup final last season?
Hearts.
Who's the Scottish FA's new VAR manager?
Willie Collin.
What round of the Europa League did Rangers reach last season?
Last 16.
What Scottish Premiership side did Celtic midfielder Kwon go on loan to last season?
Who cares?
Kieran Bowie has joined Hibs from which English Premier League club?
Sunderland.
Who did St Mirren beat in the previous round of the Europa Conference League?
Valuska.
Okay, let's bring back Gordon and DL. Can you hear us?
I'm back.
Tough tonight.
Yeah, I'm watching Mark shaking his head there.
You're in bother.
I'm always in bother.
What's your record this season?
I'm 100%.
Played 1-1-1 or played
2?
No,
I've not played yet.
Have you not actually?
No, that's my first.
Seriously?
Yeah, that's my first game.
Oh, this is exciting.
Could you say his Andy took 20 seconds to answer the first question?
You never know what you're going to get with you.
Yeah, it could be a mixed bag.
Right, let's go then. 30 seconds and your time starts now. Who did Rangers beat in the League Cup final last season?
Hearts.
Who's the Scottish FA's new VAR manager?
Oh, pass.
Which round of the Europa League did Rangers reach last season?
Fourth round.
Which Scottish Premiership side did Celtic midfielder Kwon go on loan to last season?
St Mirren.
Kieran Bowie has joined Hibs from which English Premier League club?
Pass.
Who did St Mirren beat in the previous round of the Europa Conference League?
I can't remember the name. Pass.
Who scored the only penalty of the opening weekend in the Scottish Premiership? Hurry up.
McGinn.
What did
McGinn.
You say there?
Luke McGinn.
Okay. How do you think
it's
it went,
a
Andy?
Way to finish.
Is it Luke McGinn?
Are you not happy, Andy? You're not confident?
I was terrible. I was
hard. I'll just give you my address just now so you can send me the ball.
Oh, right. Yes,
oh,
confident.
Yes, Andy.
I was poor.
Bang McGowan.
No, that was a rock.
You think you were good, Andy?
Was he good?
I've either won it
and
I've got a draw.
Oh, hold on a minute. You're throwing out your address a minute ago. Now you're claiming a draw. What's the bar guy's name?
Well.
The English ref.
Just you wait. Wait, nice. We'll get to that. We'll wait. Who did Rangers beat in the League Cup final last season, Mark?
Aberdeen.
Oh, so I was there.
You were there. And Andy's. Hey, listen. Andy's a Rangers fan. He got it wrong. He said Hearts as well.
Wow.
This could be good, Andy.
So it's a 0-0. The new VAR manager. What do you mean? Come on, keep up to speed.
The English referee, you know.
John Moss.
Yeah. Come on. Dylan Moss. Don't tell me Andy get that.
No, I didn't.
No chance.
Which round of the Europa League did Rangers reach last season?
The old fourth round.
There is no fourth round.
Third round then.
And the last 16, Andy got it.
Oh, no.
Last 16, 1-0 to Andy. However, Andy just shown his sort of bias here, or the way his mind works. Who did Kwon go on loan to from Celtic? Andy said, who cares? And Gordon DL got it, St Mirren. It is an equaliser. Kieran Bowie joined Hibs from?
Fulham.
I seen that today in Sky News as well.
Yeah, well,
guess Andy didn't get that either.
Andy didn't get it either. It's 1-1. Mm-hmm. Who did St Mirren beat in the previous round of the Conference League?
I can't remember.
Andy
their
was
names.
Sort of like close. He said like Valuska, or I don't know. It was Valur. He had the right bit to begin with. What do you mean, come on?
You want that, Andy?
No.
Absolutely
not. It bears little resemblance.
Right.
Speaking of which, you know where I'm going with this, don't you?
The penalty.
Uh huh.
Look
what?
McGowan. McCown, that's what I said.
No.
You're not taking that after.
Hold on, don't do this.
I've got a wee thing in my tongue there, a blister.
Not do this ahead of the new season.
You cannot take that off me.
Dundee,
everything I mentioned. Tell me.
Mark.
You can't have that. McGowan and McCown.
Two completely separate names.
No.
Can we get, speaking of John Moss, can we get VAR? Can we play it back?
Tell me, Andy.
Can we play it back though, please? The people need to vote on this. Especially when like McGowan is a different name. Dundee have had Paul McGowan. You said
shut up, you. Nobody's talking to you. You just calm yourself down.
Andy's just butting in.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Andy, would you give me that?
If you give me the last one, then
I. No, don't be so stupid. That'd be too
true. Then you're not getting it then.
Right, I'm telling you what, I'm going to tuck you away in a
tiebreaker. I can't believe I'm even validating this debate, but what would a blister on your tongue How would that impact
McGowan?
The funniest bit, he was thinking he was getting the first name wrong. He kept saying, Look, it's Luke, mate. Second name.
Oh, I named it and everything.
The thing is, I gave him a chance to repeat it.
He did. He kept repeating the same name.
No chance.
Are you not giving me it?
Not in this season or any other.
That's no good. That's not
it's two different names.
It's not really.
No, I have to admit, that's not even one I feel guilty
about.
Hold on
a minute. It's like
close.
Somebody saying DL or Dalziel, because what happens.
Except
that's what happens.
It's not though, is it?
Eh?
But I mean it's not.
It's really spelt nearly the same as well, isn't it?
Oh, you've lost me here. Absolutely lost me. That's not the same thing.
Yes,
it's not.
I don't believe you're
two different names.
I should have just said wee Luke for Dundee, the captain.
Yeah, had they given you that?
Well, they did say Luke.
Right, anyway, let's go to the tiebreaker. Here's the way it's going to work. I will get the question out there. I'll get Gordon to write his answer down. Then you give me your attempt, Andy, okay?
Okay.
Including the 2014-15 final to now, how many goals have been scored in Scottish League Cup finals since then? Write it down, Gordon. So going back about 10 years. So 14-15 final to now. Andy, what are you going for?
27.
Okay, Gordon Dale goes 34. So there's not much in it. I can tell you that the answer is 20. Andy has done it. Well done to you, Andy. You're still 100%. Gordon Dale played one.
I'm not happy with the last one. Shut up. I'm not even talking to you.
Well, listen, right. One final time then. John Moss, let's see how impressed you are with the efficiency here. Let's do our own version of VAR. Let's hear it back. Who scored the only penalty of the opening weekend in the Scottish Premiership? Hurry up.
McGowan.
Is he?
He said McGowan. Simple.
No, simple as that for me.
Tucked you away, Andy. Well done. The sign ball's on its way.
You've got too much to say for yourself.
You're absolutely right.
Safe hey, trip Andy. Home, Andy.
Peep the horn, Andy.
That sounds like a small car. What kind of car you got? That's a Micra.
If somebody's in the car park listening, I love that.
It's a Peugeot 2008, and it's the biggest heap of crap you've ever
seen. Good advert for Peugeot there.
Sorry if anyone from
Peugeot's listening. The ball will add a bit of value to it.
There we go, the sign ball.
I'm telling you what, that's terrible wee look.
Yeah, it's poor from you that. And what it means
is done in the one each.
We're going to have to work on one each rubbish. We're going to have
to
wait.
They were playing hard.
We're going to have to wait for the Turkish shooter celebration, by which time it'll almost certainly be old.
And we'll keep it alive.
Old news. It won't be funny anymore, and we've missed the opportunity.
Just do it.
If you'd have given me the last one, which I was right, I was just unlucky with my pronunciation of it. No, thanks so much.
Do you know who's back for the new season?
Who?
Curious Creatures.
Oh,
for anyone who's never heard, he likes to
put him in Andy's motor.
Poetry about the pundits. I'm definitely going to read this quick. In fact, it's funny because other pundits in Scottish football elsewhere, maybe along these lines at the weekend, if you see any clips out there. I'm back to bring more rhyming joy, which makes me so excited. I know for sure my good old friend the Dazzler is delighted, because he'll be here to set me up, and therefore I just canny resist the urge to take the mick, because he's still a massive favourite. There we go.
I don't like that.
I get what you're meaning with the midweek or the weekend.
I actually read it wrong because I thought it was going to rhyme with the end. Nah, I'll move on. I don't want to get myself in trouble. But there we go.
Welcome back, Curious. Almost welcome. I like
him. Don't encourage these people.
I like his poetry. Always a bit of fun at your expense.
Get the calls in, whether it's tonight's European games, whether it is transfers, anything along those lines. Something new entirely. Do share it. Great start, local Marnock. We're happy with that. Kyle Vassell early on. Cliche time, but especially those European nights, and you're wanting to set the tone, get your nose in front. There will be a big crowd, expectant crowd, and try and press something home early.
I think, in the terms of starting the season, it's a big game for Kilmarnock. You know, they get put out the last round. Obviously, they went to a difficult game on Sunday against an unformed Celtic. You've got to say they're at home tonight. There will be a decent crowd there as well. So Derek wants to start getting that confidence back in, that winning feeling. He's certainly got the squad, he's certainly got the players, and he's certainly got off to a terrific start.
Yeah, without doubt. I mean, he's got the personnel there to cause anybody problems. I think we saw that last season, especially when Kilmarnock played Celtic and Rangers. They're a defensively sound unit, but they've got that real attacking threat, and he left a couple out, didn't he, at the weekend, probably with this game in mind. So he'll be particularly pleased that they've got off to a quick start, because if you leave a couple out in the league game, sacrifice people at Celtic Park for this game and it goes pear-shaped, then you wonder if you made the right decision. But off to a good start, Vassell, he's just turned into that kind of talisman for them, isn't he? Yeah. He scores important goals and such an important player for them.
I mean, he's probably not in there to be prolific and score loads. It's probably never good. Right, he might contradict that spectacularly this season. But nevertheless, Gordon, you've been there again, you know, new season. If you're in that area of the pitch and you try and get the goals early and get the confidence up.
Yeah, if you've never played in that position, honestly, players do. It plays in their mind the start of the season. You want that first goal. You want that first goal, and then that just gives you confidence to carry on. It's terrific for him tonight. Listen, we've seen it before. You look at Theo Bear, for instance, scored early in his Motherwell career up at Dundee, then went right off the boil, and then the second half of the season, he was absolutely brilliant, and Motherwell made a lot of money out of him. So there's possibilities there, but I just think scoring goals is a confidence thing, and that'll do him the world of good tonight.
Bruce Anderson will be an interesting signing for him. Mm-hmm. I wonder how that'll pan out, because you've got the guy in Vassell who'll batter centre-halves about, and Anderson's very mobile. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out throughout the season, because Anderson is a good player, playing the struggling Livy side. He always looked decent on that side, but he's playing a much better setup now. And Kilmarnock maybe utilise and get the best out of him.
0141 951 1025. It is the perfect time to call. We'll continue building up to St Mirren's home game, and of course keep you up to speed on Kilmarnock's. They're 1-0 up. Transfer business, anything else, share it now please.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. They're back. They've been reunited as a duo after a sort of up and down summer. They were closer than ever in Germany, believe me. Ripped apart as Mark went to scale Kilimanjaro. The season started without him. We're back. It's like normal service has resumed. Get your calls in right now. We'll try and get you on next. What it does mean is that you need to become a team again on the full time teaser.
Are you ready?
Let's do it. Can you name? And by the way, it's the usual drill on this, but just in case anyone's new to the proceedings here, fulltime at Clyde1.com. You come up with the question, email it in, we use your question on the pundits. It's quite good fun, I have to say. Can you name the 10 players who've scored 55 goals plus in the Scottish top flight for one club only? I wonder, there must be a time sort of bar
55
on this.
plus.
Tavernier.
What I'll tell you is they're all like this century sort of thing. Just in case you were worried that it goes way back.
Tavernier.
James Tavernier, correct.
Yeah. Morelis one.
He is.
Okay. Kyogo must have scored more than 55. No,
not yet.
Is he not?
One club. Right, okay.
Cal McGregor when they've got there. James Forrest.
James Forrest.
Yes. Okay, we'll leave it there and we can see how you get on. Looking for 10 players, 55 plus goals in the Scottish top flight for one club only. They're all like this century, so it's not like we're going way back or anything like that. You can just keep them to yourself for now. If you've got any more, we'll get them as the show progresses. And a quick reminder, fulltime at Clyde1.com if you want to submit your question. David is in the city centre discussing transfers, I would imagine. David, take it away.
I'm on with... I've heard a few people on that want Celtic to go out and splash money. The Adam Eder one, I mean, does anybody know if Adam Eder's making a demand to say I want to be first choice when it's taken so long? He's not going to be first choice player, so he's coming to sit on the bench. And everybody say we've went out year after year and we've spent millions of pounds on squad players. We're not looking for squad players just now. We're looking for somebody that's going to compete to be a first team player. Understand we need a centre-half, we need a left-back. That's fine, you go and get that. But to say, oh, just go out and spend money, they days are well gone. They're not in the market to bolster our squad. We've got enough squad players sitting up at Lennoxtown.
But you don't at left-back or up front?
Up front, that's fine. We've got 3 weeks left of a window. Mm-hmm.
3 weeks.
Well, listen, but that's fine. That's fine. But that isn't. That's an entirely separate point. To we have enough squad players. You don't in certain areas.
You've got squad players that will cover. You've got Welsh. And at the moment,
who's covering for Kyogo if he goes off after 10 minutes at the weekend?
Well, and on the bench on Saturday, Mikey Johnson, who'll play through the middle. Squad player.
Yeah, he probably would. Or Maeda, yeah. But Maeda's injured as well. It's not
and
ideal.
Stephen Welsh is not going to left back.
David makes a point that there's a lot of squad players at Celtic. They've got big squad and obviously try to trim that, but they're certainly needing cover at certain areas. Of that, there's no doubt. Especially centre forward, Kyogo could get, you know, injured tomorrow in training, and all of a sudden the plans are up in the air, and Brendan Rodgers has got to adjust and put an unnatural guy in at centre forward. Mikey Johnson's a winger, we all know that. James Forrest could probably play in there, a call, but he's a winger. Maeda is preferred in the wide areas, but obviously with his country, he can play through the middle as well.
Let's be serious about this for a second.
They need cover.
We're talking about any club here. This is not a criticism even of Celtic, but particularly at Celtic standards and where they are in our game. You shouldn't be talking about somebody who doesn't play in that position, yeah, going in there. But anyway, where David is 100% right, Mark, we don't know everything that's going on behind. In fact, we don't know lots that's going on behind the scenes. But in the case of Adam Eda, I don't think we're at what demands is Adam Eda stage yet.
No,
because a bid's not been accepted. You know, it doesn't sound like Celtic have met Norwich's asking price, yeah, yet.
But so I think the Adam Eda, you know, negotiations would be pretty easy. I don't think there'd be many players that kick about nowadays that say I want to be first choice. Of course, they may harbour those ambitions inside, but I think everybody understands that they have to go to a club and fight for their place. And Adam Eda knows the squad, he knows Kyogo, he knows the game time he got at Celtic with Kyogo there as well.
He played a fair amount.
Of course, he played a fair amount, and he done a lot with the time he played in terms of the goals he scored. So I think he would back himself to go in there and challenge. I think he would understand what games he would play and what games he wouldn't, and he understands how good the other players are. So I don't think those demands will be, you know, going round Adam Eda's head. In terms of finances, I think that will all be smooth, but it's the transaction between the clubs that seem to be the stumbling block with Celtic in so many of these prospective transfers.
You keen, I take it, David, are all Celtic fans keen, I take it, for Adam Eda? You'd spend a fair bit on him.
He's worth £6 million. That's the going rate for him. He's worth that. He was a squad player at Norwich. He wasn't a first pick. He was a squad player. So it's there. But the Celtic squad at this precise moment in time is good enough to dominate Scottish football. But it's no Scottish football we're looking at now. Yeah. We've got to progress in Europe. So you can't just bring in players to progress in Europe. You've got to bring in the right players to progress in Europe. I'm quite happy, and I trust in what Brendan's doing. He's came back, and I think he's going to be here a long time. And he's picking his players, he's building his squad. Yeah, Matt O'Reilly might go, but there's another 10 Matt O'Reillys out there somewhere. It's just finding them and having the right people that looks at them. Nobody had heard of Matt O'Reilly when he came to Celtic, or Rio Atati, or Kyogo. Nobody. And they came, they're great players in Scottish football, but we need to progress to European football. We need to make that step up. That's where it goes. And to do that, you've got to find the right players and not a squad player.
Yeah, again, I still feel like that's bang on, that's the truth. But there are a couple of separate issues. David says Celtic's squad is good enough to win the Scottish Premiership, and it may well be. You still wouldn't go into a Premiership season. Let's say the Champions League didn't exist. You wouldn't go into a Premiership season with one striker or one left back.
100%.
So that is still something just from a numbers game that is addressed. And then the separate issue is, okay, what's making that starting 11 better? Europe, you know, what are the aspirations? Those are separate things.
Yeah, a lot of football to be played, especially if you're a club like Celtic with Europe and the three domestic trophies to play for in Scotland. You're right, because you can pick up one or two injuries and all of a sudden you're leaving yourself a bit short. Look, I think there's a bit of concern from Celtic fans that the business hasn't been done quicker, and I totally take that on board. But I said at the top of the show tonight, I'm confident behind the scenes Celtic are ready to bring in players, and before the transfer window shuts, I'm sure they'll have new recruits in.
Fair enough. Thank you very much to David. 01419511025. Keep the calls coming. Let us know what you're thinking tonight, whether it is transfers or something that we've not had mentioned yet. Let's hear a bit more from Gabriel ahead of St Mirren's game this evening.
Rain continues to pour down here, but supporters' spirits are still high. A huge night for St Mirren, one of their biggest games in 37 years. The Buddies have been flying so far this campaign. They hammered Hibs on Sunday. They eased past Valour in the previous round as well. And up next, it's SK Brann, second in the Norwegian League and favourites to progress. But Stephen Robinson is confident his side can win tonight and take an advantage over there in 7 days' time. Let's have a quick look at the teams again. It's Falcom in goal. Fraser, Gogic and Taylor make up the back three. Sean Rooney will play right wing back with Boyd Muntz, Smith and Odoo in midfield. Jaden Brown is left wing back. Up top, it's a duo of Mikel Manton and Jonah Ayunga. No place for captain Mark O'Hara. He's out for a few weeks with a thigh injury. Now, a few Brann fans came in and made a decent racket when they walked in. About 50 of them tucked away in the corner. Nothing compared to the St Mirren supporters, of course, sold out this stadium. There are as many Norwegian media here, though, as there are from Scotland. I had a Norwegian just ask me where he can buy a beer from in the stadium. When I told him it's not possible, he asked me with a shocked face, so is everyone sober here? It's clearly a massive game for Brann as well. A huge night, a place in the Conference League playoffs on the line. Kickoff is coming up next.
Just because you can't
analysis,
just because you can't buy a beer in the stadium doesn't mean everyone's sober. Those seem like two separate issues. I would have to say,
just highlighted the pubs all in the corner. Yeah.
See, listening,
been in there.
Do you know what? Though, haven't seen him in Germany. I bet he was trying to speak Norwegian.
He's got so much up his sleeve. That guy.
Yeah, he's got a bit Norwegian as well.
Oh, he's got everything.
He's got the lot.
He put in the hard work,
he was a good
and you know what? Paid off
us
in Germany, and I realised that in the first taxi. Where the guy had
Shiva was lost anywhere in the world, I'd drop a pin, sit down and wait for him come and rescue me.
He was quite handy to have around, I have to say. Anyway, keep your calls coming in the other game. In fact, I'll give you an update on that in a minute. Let's hear, whilst we're on the subject of St Mirren, let's hear the thoughts of Stephen Robinson.
Every game we go into, we expect to win. You know, it's not a game we go to Celtic Park, we expect to win. We don't always, but we have created that mentality. You know, the boys know if we're at the best of our ability, then we don't fear anybody. You know, we certainly don't fear anyone. That includes Europe. We believe that we can beat players, anybody on our day with the players that we have in this building. We believe we can continue on in the competition. The pressure's not on us, the pressure will be on Brann. They'll be expected to come here and win comfortably, I would imagine. But we don't approach games like that. You know, it's no game's a free game, or a free hit, as people call it. We want to win the game.
So he should. I mean, a home game, a home tie, of course he should. Like that interview shows there that he has high expectations of his team. There's a difference between obviously expecting to win and want to win. You know, if you go to Celtic Park, I don't know if you should expect to win. You really want to win. You put your plans together to win. But that's different from tonight. I think when you've got a home tie and you've been playing well and scoring freely and looking good and your new signings are good, then he probably does go in with high expectations for his side. But it's going to be difficult. You know, these European games, said it earlier, take on a different form, they play a different style, a different tempo, and it's about you matching that on the night and getting the best out of the players on the night.
Two defeats in 18 for Brann. They got past Go Ahead Eagles in the previous round, beat Strums Godset. That's Ronnie Dyla's old club, wasn't it?
Oh, so it is,
beat them 3-2 at the weekend. The only teams that have beaten them in that run, Bodo Glimt and Molde. Celtic fans shuddering at both of those names. I think we mentioned this last night, Gordon, and I take our esteemed colleague Jim Duffy's point that we just can't keep using it as an excuse and we have to find a way. But I wonder how hard it is to find a way taking on teams that are well into their season.
They're never going to get a better chance, are they? They've got off to a terrific start, St Mirren.
No, that's what I'm saying, though, but yeah. Brann have played however many games this season. You know, they're well underway. It must be challenging.
Yeah, it will be difficult tonight. Of course it will be. But I just think, I look at St Mirren's point of view, they've got off to a terrific start. I think he's recruited very well. There's a packed house in there. Fans are right behind them. Everything's going well. They've come off a terrific result against Hibs as well. So the confidence must be oozing out that dressing room ready to go. Look, they will need to make sure they're on top of their game, disciplined, tight at the back. Of course they will. I've just got a sneaky that they can get something to take to Norway.
Well, we'll see. Where are we? 10 minutes away or so from kick-off. Any St Mirren fans who for whatever reason can't make it along and want to share your thoughts? Well, I mean, phone us from the stadium if you like, but I'm assuming this is aimed at people watching on at home. Do give us a call on 01419511025. Mark, I was going to ask your experience of it. The difference would be the expectation. For a start, Celtic would be stronger than the likes of St Mirren. The expectations are different. But was it noticeable when you played a team that was kind of midway through their season? You must have done that in qualifiers.
Yeah, I think my very first one, we played for Dundee United, actually, MyPa 47. I think they must have been well into their season. I think they were through Finland. And I think we noticed it, by the way, in the second leg, we noticed it. Thought we were cruising up and they finished so strong, ended up putting us out. But there is a level, there is a different level from coming off the back of pre-season and just feeling your way into games. I always felt myself personally that it would take me about 6 or 7 games into the season before I was getting to where I regarded as my peak. And then when you're coming up against these sides who are obviously well entrenched in their season, and have that level of fitness and togetherness and they know the tactics and they've maybe got a good feeling about themselves because they're on a good run that you've just highlighted, it can become a much more difficult task.
I get maybe that is the bit that balances out then, at least if you're St Mirren, you've got a real feel-good factor. It's not, yeah, you know, at least just those couple, because it's not the first round that they've played in Europe and they've got that one league game under their belts.
It's got to stack in their favour, that, without doubt. I think if they got off to a bad start, if they've had a poor pre-season, and you're getting into these games and you're really desperate for a result to kickstart your season, of course it looks different. But Stephen Robinson's players, and Daz will tell you the same, when you get off to a good start, you cannot wait for the next game to come about. And then, laughing about the crowd earlier, but if the crowd are there, you know, it's a great atmosphere, of course you're desperate to get out there midweek on a Thursday again and play. So the St Mirren players are in a good place just now. The management team will be in a good place. I'll only get better if they get a good result tonight.
I suppose we did say earlier on, you know, at this stage last season, Hearts beat Rosenborg. That was a similar scenario. Rosenborg were well into their season, Hearts beat them, albeit Rosenborg were in a bit of a poor run at that point. Both these opponents, incidentally, Tromso and Brann, they've got a break this weekend in between the two legs. You know, sometimes we have that discussion. Could Scottish football do it? Should they? Maybe you don't need it at this time of the season. Maybe that's
a reflection. Kilmarnock would want them. I think you've got to play. We're chasing. We're just into the start of your season.
Yeah,
gets a bit more sharpness. Gets a bit more game time. Mark touched
Derek
on it.
McInnes would have taken it the weekend though.
Oh yeah, probably. Well,
depends what your fixture is.
He got a great workout at the weekend. These players really got a run around with that. But they've got off to a good start tonight. I think you've got to keep momentum, you've got to keep playing, you've got to keep that sharpness, as long as you can stay away from, you know, injuries to important players.
Okay, 01419511025. That's good. It's always a good time to call, but right now would be ideal as we head into the home straight. On the teaser tonight, we're looking for 10 players who've scored 55 plus goals in the Scottish top flight for one club and one club only. James Forrest, James Tavernier, Alfredo Morelos.
Was Louis Moe in there?
No.
I was going to look at his notes just to see if I could steal any of his answers there.
I know.
Look at this. The scribblings of an absolute doodling maniac.
What is that of? Let me see. Oh, am I looking at it upside down? Oh, I can see the two. But I know what you've drawn.
Okay. Right. What about Adam Rooney at Aberdeen?
No.
Sutton must be one. Chris Sutton.
Yes.
What about John Hartson?
Yes.
Yeah, right, okay. Gary Hooper?
Yes.
Oh, Chris Boyd?
No. Oh,
what? No. Oh, don't butt in. I was on a roll there.
Go then, keep
don't
going.
Listen, do you?
Edward.
One club and one club only.
Edward.
Yes.
All right. See, I was on a roll.
We will leave it there. You've got three.
No.
He played for Kelly as well.
Honestly. Three to get, we'll get them next.
I'll double check that.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Approaching half time at Rugby Park, we'll give you the latest there at the interval and kicking off pretty much now for St Mirren. So again, anything in the opening stages, we will tell you all about it. On this teaser, quickly, did you come up with anything inspired during the break? Can you name 10 players who've scored 55 plus goals in the Scottish top flight for one club and one club only. Odson Edouard, Chris Sutton, Gary Hooper, James Forrest, James Tavernier, Alfredo Morelos and John Hartson.
Right, now I understand what the question was. I'm going Chris Coleman.
Well, funnily enough, I mean, did play for Hibs, didn't he? But that, yeah. I think it was in the, that was in the Championship.
Top league.
Right, I think that counts.
Good thank shout.
How many more we get?
Two.
Two Most. More we get, have
we? One's easy, one's not, I would say.
One's easy.
That would be my breakdown for you, I would say.
I've got Hartson twice on my list. That's why.
It's not, it's not ideal. Two,
is Samaras one?
No.
Is he not?
No. Okay. Let's bring in Gary, who's in Hamilton. How are you, Gary?
Not too bad, thanks.
What's your point this evening?
It's just that the boy David, who phoned in earlier, talking about in Brendan we trust.
Yep.
I'm a Rodgers fan, but I don't know how we can say that in Brendan we trust compared to his history of signings for Celtic. His first season in particular, well, the last stint he had Kouassi, De Vries, Poure, Hayes, Benyu, Compa, Morgan, Jack Henry, Scott Bain, even signed Izaguirre again, Arzani, Malumbu, Oko Flex, Kvitley, Oliver Burt, Timo Weah, Bayo, Schwed. Do you know what I mean?
Listen, I always admire someone who's done their homework, because to be fair, he's rhymed it off, puts up a fair point, Mark. The difference is, we don't always know, and this is an ongoing debate on this show and many others. Okay, does the manager pick them? Does the head of recruitment pick them? Is it a combined effort? You know, so it depends who you blame or who you credit with signings. But those were under Brendan Rodgers' watch, I think, is Gary's general point.
Yep, and I think every one of them, yeah, was a failure. I think, did he mention Hayes in there? Hayes was okay, but yeah, lots of them were failures. But you're right, it's hard from the outside to kind of see what's going on within the club. But the one thing that you would put at Brendan's door, even with those signings, he did have successful ones, but resulted in trophies and a hugely successful spell. So he managed to coach these players, even though they weren't stars for Celtic. When they were put in the side, they were still part of a successful side. So to take them to the next level, of course, you need better recruitment than that. But where are these players coming from? Is it the manager? You're right, it's hard to put your finger on.
And we'd be here all night going through them individually, but obviously Schwed was the famous one that clearly wasn't Brendan Rodgers.
Said,
you know, don't need another winger sort of thing. So how would you describe your feelings towards this window then, Gary, or the confidence that it does sort itself out? Not too confident?
No, I'm confident. I think we'll get plenty to win the league, but I think my concern is in Europe. I don't want to be getting scudded every time we play. I mean, I look at teams like Copenhagen and teams like that. They're spending 4, 5, 6 million on players in the Danish league, and we're struggling to get bodies in the door. I mean, the boy Vitsgarden, who we were looking at in January, is scoring the night in the qualifiers. He wasn't in the squad last week. I think that got a few tongues wagging. The guy for Antwerp, I mean, we're not even rumoured to anybody. And usually, maybe that's a good sign, because under certain managers, we knew everything that was happening before anybody else. But I'm a Brendan Rodgers fan, by the way. I think he's a fabulous coach, but the signings, do we have a head of recruitment at Celtic? Do we have a recruitment team? Is the CEO putting the blockers on it? Is the finance guy putting the blockers on it? Are we saying players are too expensive? Are they saying they're not good enough? We need to know what's happening.
Yeah, I think there will always be more questions than answers for any fan of any team, really, along those lines, Mark. Obviously, Mark Lawwell left that role, can't remember the month, maybe March time, towards the end of last season anyway, maybe a bit earlier than that. So again, that balance of responsibility and who does what. I know fans are interested, but I think clubs are never going to say, oh, he signed him, you know, blame him for that. It just doesn't work that way.
No, because it's a joined up approach into the as long as the team's performing well, then everybody takes the credit. But look, recruitment's an entirely different level and game now from even I think when I was part of it. I mean, you had your head scout that done all that job. It's now a full team of people who will scour Europe and watch game after game, and then you think of that process of whittling down that and then sending it on to the manager and the coaching team for them to pick. It's a huge, huge part of the game now, and it's hard to get right.
More mileage in these debates, I suspect. So thank you to Gary in Hamilton. It's half time though at Rugby Park. Here's Andrew McLean.
Classic so far really at Rugby Park, but Kilmarnock are getting the job done, which is the main thing. It was a perfect start too. Matty Kennedy cut back onto his right foot, a curling cross from the left. Brad Lyons flicked on the header, looked as if it was going in for a second. That came off the post, but Kyle Vassell reacted quickest to slide in, directed his effort past the goalkeeper, and you wondered at that point if Dennett McInnes' side were really ready to put the pedal to the floor. It hasn't really happened though. A lot of the game being played in the middle third. Troms were trying to keep possession of the ball, not doing it very well. Kilmarnock looked the most dangerous when Kennedy and Armstrong are sort of cutting back, getting those crosses in, but they just haven't really got too many shots away. Moves for both sides are breaking down as they get to the final third. Robbie McCrory's had one save to make, a decent stop down low to his right from a shot from Kierto Dahl. Advantage Kilmarnock as it stands, but they'll be hoping to build on it in the second 45. The halftime score at Rugby Park is Kilmarnock 1, Tromso 0.
How would you rate their chances of doing so, Andrew, based on what you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, they really need to offer something a bit more. It's just when it's got to that final third, as I said, it just keeps on breaking down. They maybe need to be a bit more creative because they're shuttling the ball out wide. It gets to Matty Kennedy, it gets to Danny Armstrong, and they're doing what maybe is becoming quite predictable, just cutting onto their favoured foot, getting those crosses in, but Kyle Vassell isn't really winning the ball in there. Bruce Anderson hasn't been involved too much. I don't think Tromso look massively impressive. They are a sort of possession-based team. They try to play football, and despite the fact that, you know, we talked earlier on, they're halfway through their season, they should really be up to speed. They don't look fantastic. They are giving the ball away a lot. This should be a real opportunity for Kilmarnock to go out, get a second goal, get a third goal, try and put this game or tie beyond all doubt in the first leg. We'll see if they can do it. I think they do have the players that can cause Tromso problems, but they do need to step it up in the second half.
Scoreboard looks good, but room for improvement then, clearly.
Yeah, and I'm sure Derek will be having a chat just listening to Andrew's details there about the game. I'm sure Derek will be having a chat in the dressing room, try to tweak one or two things. Look, if they get another goal, I think you'd be reasonably happy with 2-0. 3 would be brilliant for them. The one thing they don't want to do is concede.
Yeah, I mean, Armstrong, Kennedy, you know, great players from last season, and they seem to be getting a lot of the ball. But maybe just need to mix it up a wee bit. But they were involved early on, and they'll need to continue that if they want to get a second. But Daz is right. If they get 3, wonderful. But again, European games can spin like that. These European sides look like slow starters sometimes and then spring into life. So the danger is always there for a sucker punch.
Okay, I think that pretty much is going to end us here. Oh, I mean, on the show, I mean. Something like end us. That sounded very fatal.
I don't quite mean that.
The show's about to end, but only. Imagine we introduced a new rule that you had to stay until you got the answers to the full time teaser.
I'd need to bring a blanket.
I'm starving.
I am as well, you know, tonight.
It's weird that, isn't it? We get that quite a lot. When one says they're hungry, it sets off the other two.
You were talking KFC on the way home.
I can't believe you're going to have a KFC.
No, I'm not.
You're looking good as well.
You look like the Colonel, actually.
Everybody says that about me, right?
Colonel.
I'm getting in the go. What you wanting, boss? They think I'm the undercover boss.
Are you going for a KFC? No, I'm going to the wee Soho.
He's just giving it a shout out in the hope that he gets
it. I know,
he
is, isn't he?
I hope you're listening.
It's too late, we're running out of time. Remind me to bring up his attempted weekend away freebie, because it involves this show.
Right, okay.
Right, just remind me.
Okay,
it involves one of our other pundits.
Yes, it does.
Right, quickly, two more in the teaser. 55 plus goals in the Scottish top flight for one club and one club only. Edward Sutton, Commons Hooper, Forrest Tavernier, Morelos, Hartson.
Was it a bad one?
Come on, Sutton, Hartson.
Oh, Larson.
Uh-huh. Larson.
And I need to put you out your misery. Dundee United. Big striker, target man. Don't know why I did that, as if he's fat. He's not, he's just target man. Quick.
Daly.
John Daly, well done. We are back tomorrow, and make sure you join us then.
Daly played with Rangers.
Have a good night. Top flight.
Goals. Oh, yeah.
Right.